Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. You can follow us on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. And today we've got a special show. Tags, why don't you tell them about it?
Yeah, so we're going to be going through Dynasty ADP, and we're going to be looking at what I believe to be the best values on every single NFL team. So, you know, we usually try and stick on a player and talk about things pretty in depth, but this show, it's going to be kind of like a lightning thing where we're going to go through and talk about all 32 teams and trying to find the best value in Dynasty formats. So it could be someone that's higher in ADP, just like maybe I feel like they're being taken later than they should be. It could be someone that's way down in the depth chart that I believe that's going to get opportunity later in the year, or whatever the case. But yeah, we're going to go through and talk about all that.
So we're going to be using the ADP from DynastyLeagueFootball.com. And what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to guess who Tag's player is from each team. And if you want to compete against me, we've got 32 teams. If you get more correct over me, shoot me a tweet at Bobby Fantasy Pro and let me know that you beat me. If you didn't, let me know too, because, you know, I'd like to know if I won this contest. That
you just want to gloat if you win, basically.
Yeah, I definitely will send you a good GIF to, what's it called, GIF or JIF?
I don't really know what the correct way to pronounce it is. Like, the creator of them said it's GIF, but I refuse to say it that way.
Yeah, and like, if you say that, people make fun of you. But if you say it the other way, people make fun of you.
Yeah, I'm sticking with GIF.
All right. Yeah, I'll go with GIF too. I'm on your team here. So, okay, before we get into it, I want to talk about the sponsor of today's show, PristineAuction.com. And I was surfing this the other day. You know, I used to be a Rams fan. I say used to because they abandoned us in St. Louis and went to Los Angeles. So, you know, whatever you think about that, I was a big fan of Kurt Warner and I was bidding on this signed football. And then I totally forgot right at the end and I got beat. It went for just $83. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Signed football for $83. Man, I would have loved to have this bad boy. Now I've got my sights set on an N'Keal Harry signed Patriots full-sized helmet. And Tags, I'm thinking, this thing will probably go for under 100, right?
For N'Keal Harry, I don't know. He's so prominent right now. So somebody bidding on that might go over. I would think it might.
I think that's probably my limit with Harry. And the thing is, like, I think eventually this helmet could be worth $250, $500 if he's as good as I think that he's going to be. So I like to get these ones cheaper. You know, there's always so many values, though. I'll probably be bidding on this and be like, oh, man, can you believe this value? And then I'll end up getting that. That's how it always goes.
It usually is. And fortunately, I've lost out on some Amari Cooper bids in the past with a Raiders helmet. Let's just hope he stays with the Cowboys because I've been bidding on a couple of those lately.
I've got a signed Amari Cooper football sitting right next to me, man.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, maybe I can trade it to you for it. You have any Kevin White gear? I'm just kidding. Anyway, everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources at Pristine Auction. Like I said, you're going to find values on there. There's over hundreds of items that end every single day for auction. Check out PristineAuction.com, PristineAuction.com. And when you buy something from them, please make sure to let them know Fantasy Pro sent you. That way we can keep doing these contests. Like the one we have going on right now, we're giving away a signed Juju Smith-Schuster Steelers helmet. And Tags, how do you enter for this?
All you do is you go to fantasypros.com/contest. And yeah, you're basically helping us out by doing it too. Because like whenever we get reviews for the show, it obviously helps us with iTunes. It helps us get more sponsors for the show. And in turn, we get to give away more stuff. So just go there to fantasypros.com/contest. And like, again, you're helping us out and we're helping you out because we're just giving away some free stuff.
And it helps us out too because we want to know what you want to see improvement on with the show. We want to know what you like so that we keep it. Because if you like something and then we're like, oh, we should probably change that, you're going to miss out on it. So let us know what you do like in these reviews. And we read all the reviews. We love reading them. Thank you for sending them in. All right, so we're going to start at the very first team, alphabetical order, with the Arizona Cardinals and tags. I'm going to guess that in terms of dynasty, you're pretty high on David Johnson this year, right?
I am high on David Johnson this year, but am I in dynasty? No.
Why not, man? Running backs, all that matters is what they're going to do the next year or two.
I get that, but David Johnson is not a young chicken. Like he's 27. I think he's going to be 28 soon. He's aging a little bit. They're moving to this air raid offense, and there's a lot more receivers that they've added there. So my pick actually for the most undervalued player, and by the way, I'm going to be coming out with an article, so if you want to see all this explained in depth, it's going to be up on the site. By the time this podcast is released, actually, you can go and check it out. But it's Andy Isabella. He's currently being drafted as the 51st receiver off the board, which it's not terrible, but I think he's the best value on this team because Hakeem Butler is being drafted 20 spots higher than him in startup dynasty leagues right now. And Butler might have the higher ceiling because he's the prototypical number one, but they drafted Isabella two rounds earlier than him. So it just shows how much they like him. He's someone I've compared to Tyler Lockett. So if Kyler Murray turns out to be, you know, a solid NFL quarterback, Andy Isabella is going to have some value.
Right. With the Atlanta Falcons, I'm going with Austin Hooper. I'm just kidding. Not Austin Hooper because he is not a good value. I keep wanting to say the people that I think are good values, but Mohamed Sanu, I think, is a very good value. Right now, he's sitting at in the 200s. He's going to be useful this year for sure. He was the number two receiver for the Falcons last year.
He's extremely undervalued typically, but in Dynasty, what I'm doing is I'm searching for guys that could potentially, you know, turn into something more. Where Mohamed Sanu is like a spot starter. I think he comes with a solid floor.
Yeah, and I'll take that at pick 229 as ADP right now.
I'm referencing Rummy right now, my friend Rumford Johnny on Twitter. I'm referencing him. Basically, you have all these pancakes, right? And what you want is you want the syrup over the pancakes, and that is Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is current price right now is QB 11. Like, guys, he finishes the number two quarterback in two of the last 3 years. I mean, adding Calvin Ridley helped an awful lot.
And it's not like he's slowing down or anything. Like,
yeah.
Are you drafting a quarterback for 8 years in the future or the next 4 years?
Yeah, that's it. Matt Ryan's only 33 years old. So you have him for another eight years. So yeah, Matt Ryan is the QB 11. It kind of made no sense to me.
That's a good one, man. I'm 0-2. All right. Let's move on to the Baltimore Ravens. I would say Justice Hill. I'm a big fan. I'm going to guess that you were going to say, ooh, it's between the two wide receivers there. Let's go Marquise Brown.
You got this one.
Yeah, baby, 1-3.
Yeah, Marquise Brown's being taken as the 49th receiver. He's dropping even further, too. Like, it's trending in the wrong direction, but he's the clear-cut number one wide receiver on that team. You could say that, you know, you don't like Lamar Jackson. That's fine. But did you know, Bobby, there were just two teams in the NFL last year who did not have at least one top 50 wide receiver on their team. So despite Lamar Jackson's limitations and whatever, Marquise Brown is going to be fine. He's being drafted as absolute floor right now.
He's like a better version of Curtis Samuel. And Curtis Samuel, he's just good.
Yeah, and the thing I actually compare Marquise Brown to DeSean Jackson. I think that's the type of player he can be. So, you know, DeSean Jackson had some solid, you know, low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver 2 years. Granted, you know, Lamar Jackson might not be there forever, but Marquise Brown is a phenomenal value at wide receiver 49.
I don't see them using Brown that much of as a deep threat. Lamar Jackson doesn't have the strongest arm. I think that it's going to be more along the lines of, you know, they put him out there for some short completions and let him take it to the house because he can.
They're going to do that. And Jackson should be able to scramble and create some time for Marquise Brown to separate. And there's not many DBs in the league that could hang with him for more than a couple seconds.
Yeah, I think Marquise Brown's a good one. I like a lot of the pieces that Baltimore has. I'm a big fan of Justice Hill. You all know that. In fact, I got some tweets saying, dude, there's no way Justice Hill is going to steal work from Mark Ingram. We'll see, guys. We'll see.
He's the better. I think that he's the better pass catcher. He's someone that I compared a little bit to Reggie Bush type player.
Yeah. Okay. So Buffalo. This one is super easy because you hate my Robert Foster. I don't remember who it was that was saying Zay Jones is awesome, but you didn't like that. It's probably not Devin Singletary because they've got like 45 running backs who are all not very good. It's John Brown. It's Smokey John Brown.
Unfortunately, John Brown's too old for me to consider him a value. The health thing has been real.
Don't you say Josh Allen.
No, I went with Zay Jones. I'm not a huge fan of him. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, he's the wide receiver 71. He finishes the number 35 receiver last year. You know, the additions of John Brown and Cole Beasley, what happens with Zay Jones? I don't know. But it's under the same coaching staff, you know, the same quarterback, and he saw 102 targets last year. I don't think he's like a sure thing or anything, but at 160th overall, I feel like he's worth the risk at that point because it's possible that the Bills actually just trade him. He's only 24 years old.
That's true. All right, so we're moving on to Carolina, and I've got to ask you this question. Are you talking for two quarterback dynasty leagues or one quarterback dynasty league?
It's like a one. Yeah, it's one quarterback.
Otherwise, I was going to go with Will Greer because I'm not sure how long Cam Newton's going to be in Carolina. And I know a lot of people are scoffing at that saying, dude's an MVP. He won 15 games. Guys, I'm not so sure. I think this shoulder issue is a big deal, and he just hasn't been a very good passer. So I think Will Greer is going to be the starter before long. But first, before I make my guest tags, what do you think about that?
I mean, Cam Newton, they're saying it's a make or break year for him, that they potentially could move on from him after this year. I don't know if it happens. I just think that there'd be too much.
And I don't know if he'll be ready for week one. Maybe that's why they drafted Greer, because he's polished.
Yeah, I mean, Greer, he's someone that's better in a designed offense. I'm not like the biggest Will Greer fan, but I don't think that even when he does start, I don't think he's going to be good for fantasy. So I wouldn't consider him to be undervalued because he's going to offer nothing with his legs. And like, that's basically, there's a ceiling for those types of quarterbacks. So is that who you're guessing my value was?
No, I was going to if it was two quarterbacks, but I know you don't especially like Curtis Samuel because he's the kind of guy that you play him and he does 25 points. In the next 3 weeks, he goes for 2 points. So I think it's DJ Moore, although I don't love his ADP right now. It's a lot higher than I would have guessed.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel's my pick, actually. I posted something on Twitter. It was kind of like a hint, I guess, yesterday. Curtis Samuel only played 12 games in 2018. On average, it took 14.9 PPR points to finish as a wide receiver two last year. All right, Curtis Samuel hit that mark 4 times in 12 games. DJ Moore hit that mark 3 times in 16 games, okay? So Curtis Samuel was actually better in terms of consistency than DJ Moore, not to say that he's the better player.
Well, it helps that Cam Newton couldn't throw the ball 15 yards downfield, and Curtis Samuel sits there in like the 5-yard range.
Well, Curtis Samuel could stretch the field if they want him to as well.
Could, but he didn't.
So DJ Moore is the better player. He's the better player to own in Dynasty, but there should not be the gap there is because Curtis Samuel is currently the wide receiver 53, while DJ Moore is the wide receiver 17. That gap is just too big.
I agree. And you know I love Curtis Samuel. I think I've got 100% exposure to him in Dynasty League, so I should be happy you're saying him, but I'm 1 for 5 right now, so I need to shape up. And fortunately, we come to Chicago. Actually, you know what? This isn't fortunate because there's 2 or 3 guys you really like here. David Montgomery, Anthony Miller, Emmanuel Hall. It's one of those. And if it's not, I just give up. I'm going to go with Anthony Miller.
You got to give up, Bobby. This comes back to, you just mentioned all those guys that I like. I like the talents, okay? Now, I've talked about the Bears and the fact that having their receivers or tight ends or whatever as a fantasy option, they're just not going to be very consistent, especially the pass catchers. And that's why Mitch Trubisky is the best value on the Bears right now. He's being drafted. Bobby, this makes zero sense to me, okay? He's the QB 19 right now. 19, okay? He's 24 years old.
Why is he the QB 19? I've got him like redraft leagues QB 12.
I don't get it. He's 24 years old. He was used with the number 2 overall pick. The Bears love him. He finishes the QB 15 last year despite...
They've got all these pieces for him too.
Dude, he played in 14 games last year and finished the QB 15. He was playing in a brand new offense with all new pass catchers. I don't understand. He actually has top 5 upside. He actually has top 5 upside. And that's why it's like, to me, this one's dumb. In terms of like, it made no sense when I saw him at QB 19. I like Anthony Miller an awful lot. I do like David Montgomery. I think he's a value, but Mitch was just too good to pass up here.
All right, man, I'm really struggling here. Let's move on to Cincinnati and see if I can add one. I don't really see any values here that I like. You're not a big fan of Tyler Boyd. You don't like Travion Williams. John Ross, that's your guy, John Ross.
Yeah, John Ross is one of the two. Certain teams I put 2 down just
Wait,
because
hold on a sec. So I get a point?
You do get a point. Yeah, I'll give you the point if you guess one of the two. So John Ross is one of them. He's being drafted as the 82nd wide receiver.
Oh, and AJ Green, duh.
Yeah, I just want to remind people right now.
That's a full 2 points right there.
Do you guys remember when Robert Woods was on the waiver wire? Like when he was with Buffalo and then he signed with the Rams and people left him on the waiver wire? Do you remember that? I do. And I also remember like people starting him now thinking, oh my God, he's a rock solid wide receiver too every single week. So the difference is he went from a crap offense to one that actually is functional.
And they hardly used him too.
Zach Taylor is the, he's the new head coach there, and he worked under Sean McVay. Now, granted, we don't know much about Zach Taylor. We can't say for certain, but he said that the Bengals will start their offense with the Rams playbook and build from there, which tells me that John Ross is probably going to be the Brandon Cooks of that offense. You're probably gonna have the AJ Green acting as the Robert Woods. And then you're going to have Tyler Boyd acting as Cooper Kupp. So there's going to be production there out of him. He's going to get targeted a lot more than he was in the old, very boring Marvin Lewis offense. So I think John Ross is a phenomenal value. And I think AJ Green is being undervalued. I don't know why people are just willing to just say, oh, Tyler Boyd's the new guy. And I don't buy that at all. AJ Green is a top five wide receiver in the NFL. Granted, he's had some health issues, but wide receiver 14, I mean, in that area, that's for where wide receivers have some question marks. And I don't think AJ Green has any question marks when he's on the field. So,
but Odell Beckham has health issues too. I'm not saying AJ Green's as good as Odell Beckham, but it's pretty close.
AJ Green is phenomenal. He's super talented. He's got size. He's got speed. He has his route running chops have gotten so much better as he's entered the league. He's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, he's a diva too. So are you saying then that you like Andy Dalton?
No.
Because you like all their wide receivers, like for two quarterback leagues.
I like the offense is what I like more than I like Andy Dalton. I think that it's possible that Ryan Finley takes over at some point this year, so I don't like Andy Dalton.
Yep. All right, moving on to Cleveland, and
good luck finding value there.
Yeah, you're right. Everyone's really excited about Cleveland. You had to pick someone, though.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with Antonio Callaway. I think he's got quite a bit of upside.
You got it. He's the one.
All right, man, I've got 4 points.
It was actually tempting to put Odell Beckham here. And the reason I say that, he's currently the number 6 pick in startup dynasty leagues.
I'd take him number 2.
That's 5 spots too low. I'd take him number 1.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, he's tied to Baker Mayfield for the foreseeable future, probably for the rest of his career. So, yes, I think Beckham, it can be, but not everybody has a chance to get him.
Remember when he fell to you at number 8 in our draft?
I do remember that. That was...
Holy cow. I was so mad because I was picking 9. I mean, I still got Michael Thomas, so I'm going to win, but...
Not when Drew Brees retires. But no, if something were to happen to Odell Beckham, he's had a history of soft tissue injuries. Callaway would walk into, you know, 5+ targets per game from Baker Mayfield. So we did see Callaway get an increase in targets in production when Freddie Kitchens took over. So Callaway is he's not a starter. He's not someone that you want to play, but he's someone that you could have on your bench in case of an injury.
You know, there's a fair amount of people. I'm going back to Drew Brees really quick. There's a fair amount of people who think that Tom Brady's kind of like a system quarterback because Matt Cassel was so good. Jimmy G was so good. Even Jacoby Brissett won some games there. Obviously, Tom Brady's would be a Hall of Famer regardless of what offense he was in, if he would have got a chance in that offense, of course, because he was such a late round pick. But, you know, I'm wondering, what if Drew Brees is kind of a system quarterback and we just don't realize that Sean Payton's like so good for quarterbacks?
So Sean Payton is a genius and he's an offensive, like he might be the best offensive mind in the game, but you combine that with Brees and that's when you get elite. That's when you get to like one of the greatest of all time. And I think that Brees is one of the greatest of all time. Like he's.
So you're saying if Stephen Morris comes back and signs with the Saints after Drew Brees retires, he's going to be just pretty good?
Yeah, he won't even be that good. But no, Brees is, he's probably the most accurate quarterback I've ever watched. Did you ever see, like, I know this is totally outside the show, but it was really fun, and you could probably find it on YouTube. Did you ever see the competition between Drew Brees and Philip Rivers in training camp?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's after Drew Brees left. It's like within the last couple of years. Like what happens is the Saints and the Chargers get together for like inner squad practices and like, you know, scrimmages. And afterwards, Brees and like some of the backup quarterbacks and Rivers and his backup quarterbacks, they have competitions about like hitting certain things. And it is so fun to watch because it's uncut. So you see basically how accurate these guys are. And you could see why Brees and Philip Rivers are the starters. It's awesome. But Drew Brees is just so damn good.
Did you see what was it? I think Tom Brady was with Jimmy Fallon and he went and threw her out.
I saw that. Yeah, with Matt Damon's window. That was funny.
Perfect throw on the first take. I'm not surprised at all, but it was really cool.
I don't know if it was the first take or not because that thing was chopped up.
That's what they say, man.
I mean, it's definitely possible, but.
Right down the middle, dude.
Yep.
All right, moving on to Dallas. And I know Tags tried to slow this down to break me out of my streak. I've got like 20 in a row right now. Actually, I'm at 4 points total right now. So we're moving on to Dallas. And they've got a lot of big names. Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper. I know you love Amari Cooper, but I don't think it's him based on where his ADP is right now. Mm-hmm. Whew, it might be Michael Gallup, but I'm going to go ahead and go with a guy that I would definitely say. I'm a huge fan. Going back and watching through, Tony Pollard's Memphis highlights. Oh, he is so good. How did he go overlooked so long?
He was overlooked by me, but like when you end up...
If this isn't your guy, you need to change it and admit that I'm right.
It's not my guy. Michael Gallup is the guy that I have on my list. And, you know, I think Gallup was destined to be a number two receiver when he came into the NFL with potential to maybe one day, you know, be better if he continues to improve. So Amari Cooper going there didn't really make me give up on him or anything like that. In fact, Gallup averaged just 3.1 targets per game before Cooper and then 5.1 after Cooper got there. He was getting plenty of air yards as the season went on. So he's definitely a part of their offense. And Randall Cobb is not going to see, you know, more targets than Cole Beasley probably did. And Jason Witten is not going to see targets. So there's targets to go around there. So at wide receiver 54, I think Michael Gallup is a solid value in dynasty formats right now. But Pollard is... he's a backup running back is what he is.
We'll see about that. You put him behind that offensive line. We'll see. I remember when you thought James Conner was a backup running back.
But he's never going to take over Zeke. Like, it's not even close. The talent gap is not even close.
Running backs get hurt, man.
Oh, I know that. But he's still a backup.
All right, Tag. So I just looked it up. And from the time Amari Cooper was traded to Dallas towards the end of the season, he had 732 air yards. He was awesome. Michael Gallup was right behind him at 628.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. Like, people don't realize like that there was Gallup was getting targets at the end of the year. Like, he's going to be a part of that offense. So, and you know, it was his rookie year. Typically takes wide receivers a year or two to get in the swing of things. So I like Gallup.
We're going to Denver, and it's Royce Freeman. It better be.
I have Philip Lindsay.
Wow. Okay. So we're gonna have to fight them because I'm a big Royce Freeman truther.
I like Royce Freeman.
I like Philip Lindsay.
In the article, it says, while I like Royce Freeman as much as the next guy, what Lindsay did in 2018 is awfully tough to overlook, and he's a better pass catcher than Freeman. He's just 24 years old. He's got a top 12 season under his belt.
And he weighs 140 pounds.
Dude, Lindsay should not be going after guys.
He's going to die, dude. I like Philip Lindsay, but he's
going
to die.
No, he should not be going after guys like Devonta Freeman and Miles Sanders.
Agree.
Okay, so when someone drafts Miles Sanders, they hope that they get a top 12 season out of him. Philip Lindsay's already shown you he can do that.
They hope they get a top 25 season. I mean, is he even going to get 200 touches?
That's what I'm saying. Lindsay's going after Tariq Cohen, Devonta Freeman, Miles Sanders, Damian Williams. Like, I don't agree with that stuff.
Yeah, okay, I'm okay with that, but Royce Freeman is a better value.
No, Royce Freeman, people are buying him. He's the RB34, and Lindsay is the RB25, so there's a gap there for sure, but I think Freeman is, like, perfectly slotted because he's not a starter, but he has the upside, so he should be drafted right outside that starter range.
All right, man, I lost my touch, and we are on to Detroit now. I know it's not C.J. Anderson.
No.
I'm just trying to get a reaction in case maybe I can read something into it. Because I have no idea what to pick in Detroit. Like, come on. None of these guys are values. You had to pick someone. Let's go with... crud, man. I guess Kenny Galladay is the only... TJ Hockenson has upside, but I'll go Kenny Galladay.
Hockenson was someone I thought about, but it's Marvin Jones. He's currently being drafted as the wide receiver 47.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Galladay's the number one receiver there, but it's a 63-spot difference between Galladay and Marvin Jones. So Galladay in 2018, he posted wide receiver 2 or better numbers in 46% of his games. Marvin Jones did it in 33%, so he's obviously a little bit lesser, but... he's 29 years old. He's got another 3 years of solid production. The Lions lack depth at wide receiver. His contract is cheap through 2020. So you're getting at least 2 more years out of Marvin Jones in that Lions offense. And what he's done so far is well deserving of somebody that should start in fantasy football, which is like the top 36 wide receivers. I would just, if you're looking at him or, you know, like trying to choose between him and someone like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, take Marvin Jones. He's at least shown that he can do it. It's not to say that Arcega-Whiteside won't become a fantasy starter at some point, but I would not take, so Arcega-Whiteside, the reason I brought up his name is he's going one spot before Marvin Jones. I think Arcega-Whiteside, I think he hopes to finish as a wide receiver 3 at some point. I don't think Arcega-Whiteside
He's big, man. That is a big dude.
I don't think he has top 20 upside is my take on him.
Yeah, I think so as well. I would agree with that. Okay, that pick makes sense. Feels better about getting it wrong now that you explained it. Now, Green Bay, there are so many values here. At least that's the way that I see it. If it were me, I'd pick Jake Kumerow. I think that Jake Kumerow has a chance to be the number 2 wide receiver in Green Bay. He was extraordinary in the preseason before his injury, and it was a goofball injury. But when he came back, Aaron Rodgers started to target him again pretty much every time he was on the field. I think there's a chance there. You're not going to pick Jake Kumerow, though. I think you're going to pick Equanimeous St. Brown.
I'm actually not going to pick any of those wide receivers. I want to preface this by saying that I think that all of them are relative values, just considering the potential you're getting with them. I don't think any of them are guaranteed that number two job, including Geronimo Allison. Allison was like in this article of mine last year, and I thought that he was a great buy, and he did well. That's why I think that he has the heads up on that job, but it's possible that they go with St. Brown or Jamon Moore or somebody else, like Kumaro.
Or Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Any of these guys have a chance to finish as top 20 wide receivers.
Well, I think that it's good to stockpile those guys on your bench because, you know, basically you're just giving yourself better odds to land which one it is. I just traded.
So you going with the GOAT then?
I am going with the GOAT, actually. When I saw that
Aaron Jones,
when I saw that Aaron Rodgers was being drafted as the number six quarterback right now, it was like an auto, like just type in his name because
I should have said him.
It makes no sense. Okay. He threw 25 touchdowns in 2018 and he finishes the number six quarterback where you're drafting him. Okay.
He had two interceptions. Two. He was playing with like a mangled leg.
And it was a bad year. It was a bad year for him. Okay. In the eight other seasons that he's played at least 10 games, Rodgers has never finished worse than the number two quarterback. He just turned 35. And if you look around, quarterbacks are playing into their 40s. Stop trying to predict the future and take the guy who is a lock to finish top two at his position. It's Aaron Rodgers. Like, come on, guys. Like, don't stop. Stop. Please stop.
You know, I saw he was like the eighth or ninth most likely to win MVP in future bets. I think that I'm going to have to put down a future bet because Aaron Rodgers has to be the favorite. I know Patrick Mahomes is amazing, but especially with the upgrades Green Bay got with their defense, I would find it hard to believe that they're going to finish with fewer than 10 wins. They're going to make the playoffs, and if they do, I think Aaron Rodgers is the MVP.
Dude, Mark Ingram, Julian Edelman, these guys are being drafted before Aaron Rodgers in Dynasty startups right now. No.
Two quarterback league, would you still take Aaron Rodgers in the first round?
Two quarterback Dynasty?
Dynasty startup.
He's borderline there. Yeah, I probably would. I think at the end of the first round.
I've got Patrick Mahomes right now, number six, Aaron Rodgers, 14. He's my number two dynasty quarterback. Baker Mayfield, 15, right after him.
I won't have Mahomes. He's just too damn expensive, and it's off 1 year. I cannot.
I mean, if I'm picking in a two quarterback dynasty startup, Mahomes is going first or second overall, probably.
Oh, I know he's going to go before I have. That's what I'm saying. I won't have him on any of my rosters, but like, it's just so tough for me to take Mahomes over someone like an Odell Beckham or Devontae Adams. Like,
right. Houston, here's another team that I don't really see any value. I like Kiki QT a little bit. In fact, I would prefer him to Will Fuller, and I know a lot of people aren't going to like to hear that, but we've never seen these two on the field at the same time. QT always gets the targets. I think it's going to happen. I mean, Fuller's going to break some big plays, so he'll be fine, but he's not the kind of guy I want to start week to week. I think you're going to go with Lamar Miller here.
I'm not. I'm actually going to go with QT, wide receiver 52 in ADP, and they've played together in three games. That's it, okay? The three games that those two have played together in, QT saw 27 targets, Fuller saw 11.
Yes, yes.
It's very game dependent, and I understand that like one of those games was QT. It was just like a massive, I think it was like a 15-target game. But still, QT has a role in this offense, and Fuller is going to be a very boomer-bust option. And so, yeah, QT is the one. Like, Fuller is, I think, the wide receiver 33 in ADP right now, and QT is 52, so I went with a cheaper one.
Is this going to be our Alvin Kamara this year where we're both really excited about him going into the year and then he explodes?
I don't know if it's
Is it going to be the Geronimo Allison where we're both really excited and he gets hurt?
I'm not expecting that type of upside out of QT. I'm expecting a usable fantasy wide receiver. But yeah, I don't like with DeAndre Hopkins there and Fuller there. It's just his upside is severely capped.
Well, let me ask you this then. DeAndre Hopkins goes down. He like stubs his toe or something because I don't want to put a bad injury on him. And he's out for all 16 games. What is Kiki QT's upside?
Probably
because Deshaun Watson's not suddenly going to get bad. He's going to get his point.
He's like, I'd say a Jarvis Landry type in terms of like, you know, like that top 24 PPR receiver.
OK. Yeah. OK. I can deal with that. OK. Indianapolis. Man, there's a lot that I like here. I love all the guys tied to Andrew Luck. Before the draft, I would have said Deion Kane. I still think Paris Campbell's going too late. So that's who I'm guessing you're going to say as well.
I have Marlon Mack here.
I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's
except that I'm wrong. I've still only got four right. This is bad.
He's the RB21. There should not be 20 running backs going above him. He's part of a high-scoring offense. He plays behind the best offensive line in football. The Colts have told us that they trust him as their workhorse back, and everything that they've done suggests that that's exactly.
They said last year they could see him getting 2,000 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, and Nyheim Hines is never going to take over that role. He's a pass-catching running back, and Jordan Wilkins is the depth guy. He's the guy behind Marlon Mack. So, I mean, Mac flashed a little bit last year.
Remember when he was owned in 20% of leagues and we were begging people to pick him up and then he just took off?
Yeah, Marlon Mack is...
Why did people drop him?
He was hurt and they never knew if he was going to take that job. But like I said, if you're listening to everything the Colts have told you and everything that they've displayed to you when he's actually healthy, Marlon Mack's their guy.
Yeah, they're one of the teams that actually tells the truth, too.
Yeah, they have so far. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. They said that they weren't interested in a running back. I know they brought in Jay Ajayi on a free agent visit, but they didn't sign him. And they said that we're happy with what we have. And they didn't draft a single running back.
All right, Jacksonville. This one's tough for me because I know you like Marquise Lee, but it's dynasty. A lot of people love D.D. Westbrook, but it's gotten a little bit too out of hand. I'm not even sure if he's going to be the number one or the number two in this Jacksonville offense. I know you don't like D.J. Chark. Keelan Cole's pretty much dead. Let's go Leonard Fournette. I was going to say Raquel Armstead, but let's go Leonard Fournette.
I debated putting Fournette in here, but...
Oh, come on. Throw me a bone. Just change your mind and give me some points.
No, I hope someone listening is beating you right now.
Oh, they are. They're all beating me, and I'm going to hear about it.
But I was not a big fan of Chark coming out, but is a second-round pick that they obviously liked a lot, and his current ADP is 93 among wide receivers. That's free is what that is. Like you aren't paying a dime for him. Like you're getting him way, you know, like down by the...
Sounds about right to me. I mean, the wide receiver 4 for a crap offense. Yeah, probably wide receiver 93.
But that's the thing is like, Marquise Lee has generated no buzz. I would actually, like, if it were based on me, I think Marquise Lee should be the guy on this list. But whatever Jacksonville's done, it suggested that they really just don't want to trust him at all. So, Chark, I'm not excited.
You have a great ability to always be completely objective. Like, you like Marquise Lee, but you agree with, you know, the idea that the Jags are going to do what they say.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's the thing is... I even put at the end of the paragraph on DJ Chark in this article, I said that this does not mean that you should be attacking him or in a trade or anything, because I really don't want much of the passing game there to begin with. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be consistent, but I think Chark offers that big playoff side.
All right, here comes my fifth point with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde is one of the two players I mentioned, so you could actually go for the second one if you want.
Yeah, but okay, let me get the other one. DeMarcus Robinson.
You got it. Both of them.
Oh, baby. 6 points. Actually, that counts for double, so now I'm at 12. Is that how it works? I'm just kidding. I'm at 6.
That's funny. Yeah, so it's going to be tough for people listening because they don't know if there was 2. But either way, yeah, Hyde and DeMarcus Robinson. You basically want to tie yourself to offenses like Andy Reid's, especially, you know, guys like Carlos Hyde, who, you know, just last year, people were drafting him as a top 20 running back.
And now he's with the best possible offense for running backs. And he's got a third or fourth string running back ahead of him.
Yeah, he's behind a running back that has still yet to carry the ball more than 13 times in a regular season game. I don't think there's a better handcuff in football, and Carlos Hyde is the dynasty RB52. That's way too far down the list. And DeMarcus Robinson,
he's my favorite dynasty value, maybe in the entire league.
It's a good one. It's a really good value. I couldn't believe that he was down there at 52.
Would it surprise you at all if he's an RB1 for each of the next 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, he signed a 1-year deal. I mean, the Chiefs could obviously extend him. They drafted 2 pass-catching running backs at the end. Well, actually, I think one was undrafted. But
none of them are as talented as Carlos Hyde. You give me any schlub, you call out Peyton Hillis from wherever he is, and you put him in Andy Reid's offense, I say he has a chance at being an RB1.
Yeah, that's the thing. If Damian Williams got hurt or if they decided to move forward Hyde as the starter, Hyde would be an RB1 every week, yes. And DeMarcus Robinson, by the way, he's just someone that he might have a starting role like right now. If Tyreek Hill is suspended or flat out released, that's much more valuable than the current 96th receiver off the board.
If he is, do you think anyone's going to pick up Tyreek Hill? Or do you think his career is done?
Man, I think people wait on this type of stuff. Especially,
I mean, we don't know the details. I'm not going to pretend I know the details. I'm wondering what you think NFL teams might do.
I honestly don't think that anybody would bring that in just because, like, the Chiefs are having such a hard time because they already let go of one player that was extremely talented because of some off-the-field stuff, and rightly so. And then it's like Tyreek Hill. If, you know, this is true, it's like I think they're holding out everything possible, and they're the team that, like, legitimately knows what they have, and it's like we don't want to let him go, but if they let him go, it's basically saying that I don't know if anybody's going to give him a chance.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, Cleveland gave Kareem Hunt a chance, so we'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Los Angeles Chargers, and this one is a gimme. If you guys don't know this, you deserve -1 points. It's Mike Williams.
It's Mike Williams, ADP 28. Why? Like, his among wide receivers.
He finished as a top 24 wide receiver last year, didn't he? And he played like...
Yep, he was the number 20 receiver.
Five snaps.
Yep, the number 20 receiver while seeing 66 targets. Now, he's not going to catch a touchdown every 6.6 targets this year, but he doesn't have to.
Are you sure about that? He's built like a defensive end, dude.
He doesn't have to, though, is my point. He's going to get a lot more targets this year. Like, he's an easy buy at wide receiver 28. It's very rare to find a receiver down this low that has top 10 upside, and he does.
Over under 26 and a half touchdowns this year, Mike Williams. No, honestly, let's put it 7.5.
I have not done my projections yet, but I probably will have Mike Williams at 8, so I'll say over.
Okay, I like it. Los Angeles Rams, and ooh man, this one's a little bit tougher.
This one is brutal, by the way. Like, it's absolutely brutal to try and figure this one out because when you have Sean McVay calling the offense, everybody is just, I don't want to say overvalued, but they're properly valued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. If it were me, I'd put Malcolm Brown. I think he's the number two behind Todd Gurley right now. Maybe Daryl Henderson passes him up, but I'd go Malcolm Brown. I think you're going to go with Brandon Cooks.
I went with Gerald Everett. Like I said, this was a tough one to figure out, but...
I mean, it better be a two tight end league because he's never going to be a top 12 tight end.
It's questionable. I mean, they spent a high second round pick on him, which it seemed like they had a role mapped out. And like, he went from 32 targets his rookie year to 51 last year. It takes tight ends some time to develop. I don't know if he's ever going to be a big part. Maybe if Gurley, you know, takes a step back in terms of his overall workload, maybe some of those targets go to Everett. But at tight end 25, it's like, I mean, I don't love the pick, to be honest with you, but there's really just not much value on this team.
All right, I'm definitely getting point number 7. Do I have 7 points or 6 points or 8 points right now?
I have no idea.
I lost track. I'm going to go with 7. I think it's 7 points right now. And the next one is obvious with the Miami Dolphins. It's Kalen Ballage.
There's two on this one. So
I'm just kidding. It's definitely Devontae Parker. And for the next one, I'm going to go with, I can't decide between Kenny Stills and Mike Gesicki. I'm going to go Mike Gesicki.
Devontae Parker was correct. He's the wide receiver 72 right now. And then Kenyon Drake, actually, I have as the other one. So... Parker, his startup ADP overall was 57th overall at the start of 2018. Okay, in January of 2018, he was going 57th overall.
Oh. And the only thing that changed is he was hurt.
He got hurt, and then his ADP started dropping, and then Adam Gase didn't play him, and he started dropping some more. And now he's not 72 overall. He's the number 72 wide receiver. And you know what is funny about this?
You know what? If Adam Gase was the coach of the Raiders, or let's say he was the coach of the Steelers last year, and Antonio Brown misses practice and says what he says on Twitter, you remember that? Let's see how Big Ben does without me. I think Adam Gase would have benched Antonio Brown because he's such a nut.
I mean, it's possible. Adam Gase is the new GM of the Jets. I'm sorry, Jets fans. You guys are in a world of hurt right now.
Well, they might be getting Daniel Jeremiah, dude. That would be fun.
Adam Gase came out and said that he wasn't even a fan of them signing Le'Veon Bell yesterday.
What?
He's an idiot.
I mean, he's right.
I'm sorry.
Like, but he shouldn't say that.
No, they screwed up as a franchise. You know, they let their GM basically, you know, they let him bring in Adam Gase. They let him hire the coach. Then they let him, you know, go through free agency and spend all that money. Then they let him go and draft the team. And then it's like, oh, now we're going to fire you.
But they got Quinn and Williams, so they're going to win the Super Bowl.
I love Quinn and Williams. Like, that dude's so fun. He's a fun-loving guy.
I don't even think he tries to be fun. He's just an awesome person.
He's a kid. That's the best way to describe him. But yeah, Kenyon Drake and Devontae Parker, like, these are two very talented players, and people drafted Parker as such a couple years ago, and now they've given up because he played with Ryan Tannehill and Matt Moore and was coached by Adam Gase. Like, why should we really care? And then Kenyon Drake is easily the most talented running back on that team. Like, don't even come at me with Kalen Ballage because he's not even close. I don't know. Kenyon Drake is still, he's very good, and he's only 25 years old, so I like Kenyon Drake a lot.
All right, Minnesota Vikings, and let's see if I can get... I think I'm at 13 points now.
No. You're at 8 right now.
I'm at 8, okay. I would go with Irv Smith right now because I think that a lot of people are going to be worried about Kyle Rudolph, and Irv Smith is very good. In fact, he might be a better pure receiver than TJ Hockenson. I think you're going Stephon Diggs, though, and I would agree with that. I think he's a great one.
Diggs is being drafted, I think, as the number 10 wide receiver, which is...
I don't have a problem with that.
It's proper where he's at. Like, he's... I think he's going where he should, so I wouldn't consider him a value. I think Alexander Mattison is who I would go with. So he's the RB53, which means that he's at the back end of handcuffs. So the way I see it is like you have 32 teams, the 32 starters, and then how, the next 32 are the people that they believe are the handcuffs, right? Or timeshare, whatever, however you want to look at it.
Mike Boone is the handcuff.
No, he's not.
You go back and you watch Mike Boone highlights and you tell me he's not the handcuff.
I know you're about your crush on Mike Boone, but they don't.
Anybody who has ever seen Mike Boone has a huge crush on Mike Boone.
They wouldn't draft Madison in the third round if they believed in Boone. You know, Dalvin Cook, we've never seen him produce consistently in the NFL. If he gets hurt again, if he doesn't produce like they want, it could be a timeshare situation. But Madison, I think he's one of the better handcuffs, though, because like you saw what Latavius Murray was able to do once he came in. It's a higher scoring offense. They did upgrade their offensive line. So I think he's an upside handcuff.
I'm not worried about Dalvin Cook at all. I have so much confidence in Dalvin Cook as long as he stays healthy. Every time he's been on the field, he makes people miss more than anyone in the NFL, including Saquon Barkley, in terms of missed tackles per touch.
I want to see it on a consistent basis.
All right, moving on over to the New England Patriots. Damian Harris. No. Oh, hold on. James White is who I'm going to go with for you.
You got it. RB33.
Okay, and you would have gone with Damian Harris, right, if not for James White?
I looked at Harris because I thought he would actually be the best value as like an upside handcuff because he's one of the best ones out there. But James White, I mean, why do people continually overlook this guy? I mean, so I want to spend a minute here. I just want to run through what I've said on him here. All right. So every year there's someone that's going to come in and take away targets from everybody. Okay. Remember Chris Hogan, Kenny Britt, Michael Floyd, Malcolm Mitchell, Aaron Dobson. These are all receivers, but they're all guys that are people like, oh, they're going to take targets away from the running backs. They're going to do this. Okay. Well, not only does that never happen, but Rob Gronkowski is now gone. That clears out about 100 plus targets per season to the pass catchers. Okay, do you think it's a coincidence that James White finishes the RB7 when Rob Gronkowski wasn't himself last year? I don't. He's a very integral part of that offense. Tom Brady trusts him. They trust him in all situations, yet the fantasy community continually undervalues him. James White is my easy pick here. It's like there is not 32 running backs that should be taken in front of him.
I agree with that. Okay, so moving on to the Saints. Now, I've got 9 points. I don't think you like Traquan Smith. I know a lot of people would say him. So I'm going to go with Latavius Murray.
You got it again.
All right, 10, baby.
Yeah, Traquan was someone that I debated, actually. But I also thought about, I was like, well, Drew Brees likely has one or two more seasons. And it's like, this is the time where you actually have to start downgrading some of those players because going from Brees to whoever they do, it's going to be a downgrade. And even with Brees, he's been inconsistent because, you know, Michael Thomas is there. But Latavius Murray walking into that role, Latavius Murray has only averaged 204 carries per season over the last 4 years. But he's scored 32 rushing touchdowns in that time. He's money on the goal line and now part of this high-scoring offense. If he gets 200 carries in this offense, he's going to finish as a top 24 running back.
He's
going to
finish as a top 15 running back if he gets that many touches. All right, New York Giants, and this one's easy.
Two of them. I got two of them here.
Oh, wow. Why?
I don't know. It's a good question.
That is super weird.
It's a great question, Bobby.
All right, Evan Ingram is definitely one of them.
I'm waiting on the other one before I give you any answers.
I mean, I can't even imagine who it could possibly be. I guess I'll say Sterling Shepard.
So you didn't get either of them?
What? Who do you like?
So first one, Golden Tate. So I don't like Golden Tate because he's usually way too expensive for what he does. He's a lower ceiling player that comes with a semi-high floor. But knowing the Giants didn't add a wide receiver to play alongside Sterling Shepard of significance, knowing that they drafted Daniel Jones, who's been known to check down quite a bit, I feel like Golden Tate is locked into 6+ targets a game, and you're not going to find a receiver in that wide receiver 60 range where he's being drafted that gets those targets every single week. So I don't love Golden Tate, but I think he's a value right now. And the other one...
Hold on, Golden Tate, I want to say this. 4 straight seasons with 90+ receptions. He was on pace for it again before he got traded to Philly. That's pretty good.
And I just think that, you know, the check down between Eli Manning and Daniel Jones, I think it works in his favor because Sterling Shepard has not been a great receiver on the perimeter when he's been asked to play there. So, and the other one is Daniel Jones. And I put him in here because his current ADP is QB32. Remember what I said about Trubisky and the fact that I said that the team spent, you know, a high pick on him. The Giants didn't have to pick him at 6, but they did. Okay. They had conviction on him. They loved him. They felt the need to draft him there that they didn't think he'd be there at 17. He's a guy that rushed for over 1,300 yards in 3 years at Duke. So
did he really? Wow.
Yeah. So if you don't like him as a passer, that's fine. But he does offer something fantasy owners should covet. And that's a solid floor with his legs.
And he's going to play. And he's got Saquon Barkley.
Yes, he's going to be there for quite some time.
And I actually think he has a fair amount of upside. I mean, there's no way he should have gotten pick 6. I had him pegged as a second round pick. I thought he was going to go in the first round, but I don't think he's a first-round talent. With that said, if they play him like a first-rounder, he's got a decent amount of upside.
Yeah, I think there's an in-between with Daniel Jones. Like, I think there's the people that are really high, like the Giants on him, and there's the people that really hate him. I believe
in quarterback intangibles, and Daniel Jones, he has it. He's the smartest quarterback in this draft class.
He's a smart dude, and that's the thing. I just feel like he's going to get the opportunity to succeed, and as a QB32, there were some questionable quarterbacks going before him that probably won't have jobs next year, and I was just like, why? I mean, take Daniel Jones over those guys. At least you just don't know. There's a wild card there, you know?
All right. New York Jets. I've still only got 10 points. Somebody was challenging us, by the way, about Chris Herndon. I know a lot of people are going to be excited about Herndon. This is not who I'm picking. Tags, I want you to tell people why they shouldn't draft Herndon.
Herndon, it's like all of a sudden these targets that he got last year are dissipating, right? And did you guys see what Mike Gesicki did under Adam Gase last year? He played and he wasn't good. Gesicki is a more talented player than Chris Herndon. It's not to say Herndon's bad, but now all of a sudden there's Jameson Crowder there. Robbie Anderson stepped up towards the end of the year. They talked about getting Quincy Enunwa as a bigger part of the offense. They signed Le'Veon Bell. Where are these targets coming from? Like, if you're going to be targeting Herndon 80 times, that means you're not targeting Le'Veon Bell, you know, 100 times. It's just not happening. That's just the way it works in the NFL. So,
well, Sam Darnold loves the middle of the field, which is why I'm picking Jameson Crowder, because I know that you know that. Jameson Crowder is going to sit there and be awesome. So I think that Darnold will pass the ball to Herndon, but I don't think he's going to be a top 12 tight end. A lot of people have him in their top 10.
Yeah, I don't see that at all. I really don't. And Crowder was my pick.
He'll be a decent streamer. I'll use him 3 times in a season. No problem with that.
ADP 74 among wide receivers?
I mean, redraft right now, I've got him in my top 45 wide receivers.
Yeah, in PPR, he's definitely worth more. There are some question marks about him, right? Because they could give some of those shorter targets to Le'Veon Bell. They could be targeting Robbie Anderson more if they want to involve Quincy Enunwa more. You know, like, there's question marks for sure. But at wide receiver 74, you're not paying, you know, much for him.
All right, Oakland and, oh boy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, I think this is going to surprise some people. I think you're going to pick Derek Carr.
No. No, I would not. He's someone that's probably not going to have a job.
Are you messing with me?
No, I'm not. I won't take Derek Carr.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure you picked Derek Carr.
I did not.
All right, who are you going with?
This one surprised me too, actually, but it's Antonio Brown. He's the wide receiver 11. I mean, it feels odd to put...
30 years old.
It feels odd to put a 30-year-old receiver in there as a value, a wide receiver 11, but...
You just put Golden Tate in there, so obviously you love 30-year-old wide receivers.
But here's the reason I have no issue drafting those smaller receivers at 30 years old. He's a Jerry Rice-style receiver where he hasn't taken a lot of big hits over his career. He's a route runner. He's a finesse player. He hasn't lost it. He looks fantastic when he runs routes. His off-the-field stuff is bogus, but on the field, he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. When you sign someone like Brown...
Are you sure?
Peppered with targets, dude. He's 150-plus targets.
Yeah, he's peppered with targets, but in terms of yards per target, he went from 9.0, 9.4, 9.5, 8.3, 9.4 to 7.7 last year. What happened?
We watched Roethlisberger last year. We know he was bad. Volume.
Juju Smith-Schuster didn't have 7.7.
No, I know, but Juju Smith-Schuster also plays the slot, which those slot targets are worth a ton more. I mean, the thing is, I don't think that Antonio Brown is going to go and be the number one receiver in Oakland in terms of fantasy. I don't think that's going to happen at all. But I think he's locked into a top 8 wide receiver for at least another 3 years. And that's the thing is, like, once you get there, it's like Stephon Diggs, you can't say that about. I love Stephon Diggs. I love the player. But I don't think we can say that he's locked into 150 targets and that he's going to finish as a top 8 wide receiver for 3 more years. I can't say that with certainty, but I can with Antonio Brown.
All right, let's move on over to Philadelphia. And we all know it's not Miles Sanders. It's not Jordan Howard. I'm going to go with Dallas Goedert.
Dallas Goddard's not a bad pick. He's really not.
He's a great pick. That's my pick.
That's actually someone I might put in there alongside this player that I have, but I did not have him in there, though. Mine was Alshon Jeffrey at wide receiver 39.
That seems wrong to me. Another, by the way, 29-year-old wide receiver tags.
Yeah, but him, it's like, I mean, who are we drafting over him right now? Like, so J.J. Arcega.
What's his floor this year? Wide receiver 30? That's his floor if he's healthy.
If he's on the field for 16 games, I'd say his floor is a top 24 receiver. Like, that's the thing. There are some question marks about his health. I get that. But, and some people are saying because they drafted Arcega Whiteside that they're going to cut him after this year. And I don't think that's the case because his salary is not crazy. It would. So if they cut him after the 2019 season, it would cause them $7 million in dead cap, which makes no sense. Alshon Jeffrey has performed, like, his first year with them, he was the wide receiver 20. Last year, he was the wide receiver 26, despite missing three full games, you know, dealing with Carson Wentz's health, you know, Nick Foles, whatever. Alshon going as wide receiver 39, this comes back to, guys, take the guys that are proven production when they're on the field over guys that are hopefuls. I understand wanting the potential, but I talked about this, and what is a draft pick worth? You know, those draft picks, the dynasty draft picks, there's a reason those are not worth nearly as much as people think, because you should take proven production.
All right, moving on over to Pittsburgh. And since we're here, I'm going to bring the stat that I just found about Juju Smith-Schuster, since we were talking about him. This is not my pick. And I'm glad we're at Pittsburgh, because I know exactly who it is and I need some points. But Juju Smith-Schuster, in the first 2 years of his career, there have only been three wide receivers in the history of the NFL with at least 9.5 yards per target and at least 140 receptions. They are Randy Moss, Odell Beckham, Juju Smith-Schuster. Tags, why do you think Juju Smith-Schuster isn't going to make a bump up? I'm with you, but I want to know why you think it.
The question mark about it, right, is that what we've seen is we've seen him produce those numbers alongside Antonio Brown. And
in the slot, and he's not playing in the slot this year.
He might. That's the thing, is like, by adding Dante Moncrief, by having James Washington, those are not slot guys. And Deontay Johnson, the guy they drafted, he's not, like, he's someone that's probably going to move around the field, but I feel like they might stick him in the same role, which is great. Like, I want him to stay in that role. But I do believe that defenses are able to hone in on him a bit more. And while that can be overstated at times, it really can at times, but it does say something, where it's like, Juju was never seeing the top cornerback on the other team, like, ever. And so now that's going to happen, and it's going to affect his production. You know, is it going to be significant? I still think Juju is very, very good. I was one of the people that was very high on him coming out of college. He reminded me a bit of Odell Beckham Jr., actually. That was my comparison when I did my player profile on him. So, yeah, it's not surprising.
And he gets bumped up in ADP, too, because he's just so fun. But I'm not taking him in the top 10. Give me a break.
He's just so expensive right now. That's the thing, is people are assuming that he automatically just continues the production he's had.
Yeah. All right. So your pick, obviously, is Vance McDonald.
It is. He was actually in this article for me last year, too. He was the tight end 31 at that point.
And you were right last year, because he finished as the top 12 tight end, I came to find out last episode.
Yeah. And now he's a tight end 18 in ADP, which it's moving up in the right direction. But I still think that when he's healthy, when on the field this year, I think he's a top 10 tight end.
All right. Seattle. This is where the value is, people. Chris Carson is an amazing value. David Moore, awesome value. I love these guys. You're not picking either of them,
though. So hold on. There's two on Seattle that I have.
Number one, DK Metcalf. Number two, Russell Wilson.
You got neither of them.
What?
Yeah, I'm disappointed in you in this one. It's Chris Carson.
Wow.
David Moore.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. And
oh man, you've been listening to me, dude.
No, so Chris Carson is overvalued in redraft if you guys are drafting him this way in Dynasty. I'm not going to say he's overdrafted, but I'm saying in comparison, because like his redraft ranking is like,
everyone thinks that suddenly Rashad Penny's going to come steal this job from a guy who was a stud last year.
It's very similar to kind of what the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson, right? Like, so they brought in Matt Flynn and then to compete with Russell Wilson, who was a rookie, and it was like, we're going to give the best man the job. And Chris Carson came in and literally stole that job. He stole the starting running back job in Seattle, and he did nothing to lose it. Nothing. So I think Rashad Penny is going to be involved in kind of like that Mike Davis role, but Chris Carson is the starter and is an RB28 in that offense that runs the ball more than like any other team in the NFL. I like Chris Carson as RB28. I think he's a good value there. And David Moore is outside the top 100 wide receivers.
No, he's not. Oh, man. He's the best receiver on this team.
No, he's not. But
yes, he is.
He's worth the risk there. Like DK.
You will see.
So DK Metcalf.
We need to make a bet. David Moore is going to finish with the most fantasy points on this team. We'll figure it out by the time the season starts.
Over Tyler Lockett?
Yeah, he's going to have the most fantasy points over Tyler Lockett.
I think you're smoking crack.
I think that I am right, and I think I'm going to win all the best ball leagues.
Yeah, DK Metcalf is going as number 66 overall, so I'm not going to say that he's a value. I like him, but he's not a value. So yeah, you didn't get either of those, and I'm disappointed in you on that one.
You know what? I am so happy, though, because you agree with me, so that's better. That's better than all the points in the world. All right, San Francisco. Let's see here. Man, again, there's quite a bit of value I see here. I love Matt Breida. I was talking to Andy Holloway about this from the Fantasy Footballers. I think Matt Breida is the most talented running back on this team. I don't know if he's going to get a chance, but whenever we saw him on the field, he was awesome. He's the fastest guy in this backfield, too. I don't think that's who you're going to pick. I think you're going to go with Dante Pettis. That's also a great call.
Dante Pettis is too expensive to be considered a value because he's going as the number 34 receiver, which is startable.
Yeah, that's about where I've got him. I think I've got him 30 in Dynasty.
Yeah, it's right around where I have him, I think, in the 30 to 35 range. So I think he's properly valued. You know, Deebo Samuel, at wide receiver 42, not really feeling that price tag either. So I went down to actually...
Oh, yeah, you're going to say Jimmy G, aren't you?
No, he's actually... I wanted to...
Because you were talking about him as a value the other day, but maybe not for Dynasty? I don't know.
I wanted to consider him a value, but in Dynasty, he's still the QB 14. Like, in redraft, he's like QB 20.
That's weird. It's not like he's super young. He's 27 years old.
It's still young for a quarterback, but I think he's going to be in the top 10 after this year again, because he has been, but either way.
So who are you picking?
Jalen Hurd. He's the number 81 wide receiver off the board. I'm taking the potential here because I think that... A lot of people are expecting some fireworks out of this offense, and I...
That was such a good pick.
Yeah, and they drafted him in the third round, so they valued him an awful lot. So I think that he's the only player on that roster who has number one potential, like a prototypical number one receiver. He's got all the physical attributes to it. He's
been playing wide receiver for, what, 2 years?
He played 1 year at Baylor, and he almost had 1,000 yards that season. He was a running back before that. He's 6'5", massive dude. But yeah, Jalen Hurd is, he's got some massive upside. So I'm just taking the cheapest wide receiver of the bunch there because I think that he offers the most touchdown upside of those guys.
I'm running out of teams here, and this next team does not look promising either. I have no idea who you're going to pick because there's some good values here. Chris Godwin, OJ Howard, Jameis Winston, Peyton Barber. I'm sorry, not Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones. No. You had a heart attack, didn't you?
I did, almost.
I'm going to go with Ronald Jones.
So I have two here, so you have a chance to get two.
Ronald Jones, and I'm going to go with, Chris Godwin.
No, Chris Godwin is, I almost want to say people are a little over the top on him right now. He's going, it's number...
See, I was just buying into the idea that you agree with me on everything now since you picked Moore and Carson with Seattle, but I was wrong.
Yeah, no, this one, Ronald Jones, you got that one. He's the RB39 right now in ADP. He's a value. He's going to start for that team. Again, why are we willing to write off David Johnson's bad season last year as coaching? But we know what he's capable of. It just goes back to talking about coaching absolutely matters. Don't write off Ronald Jones because he sucked under Dirk Cutter. Every running back that has played under Dirk Cutter has sucked, including Devonta Freeman, by the way. When he was a rookie, everybody wrote him off. And then all of a sudden, Dirk Cutter left. Kyle Shanahan came in, and Devonta Freeman, if you guys remember, he was an MVP, like a fantasy MVP. Ronald Jones, don't write him off. I don't think that he's like a sure thing, but as the RB39, that's tremendous value for a starting running back. And I have Justin Watson here. This is one off the radar a little bit. He's the wide receiver 94 in current ADP. He is going to be the starting slot receiver for Tampa Bay.
So he's Adam Humphries.
I believe that he is going to take on that Humphries role. I think that they're going to mix and match a little bit in terms of like getting Godwin in there. But I think Justin Watson is he's a solid buy down the depth chart a little bit.
All right. I like that one. I would not have guessed it. Obviously, I didn't guess it. I'm not going to guess this one either. Tennessee. Holy cow.
Yeah, this one was tough.
Yeah. I'm going to go with... See, I think Corey Davis is a little bit too high. Just because he's paired with Marcus Mariota. And AJ Brown is definitely too high. I'm going to go Deion Lewis.
That's exactly where I went. He's RB60.
Yeah, baby.
RB60? I mean, come on. I don't love him. I'm not saying to go out and trade for him.
Is there a chance that he outproduces Derrick Henry this year?
I don't want to say that just because...
Outside of injury.
We started to see Derrick Henry start to take over that job, and that's why people are drafting him high again. But with Matt LaFleur leaving, we don't know what that offense, what they're going to change. But I imagine it's going to be a lot around Derrick Henry. So I think Deion Lewis is going to be somewhat a... Kind of like a Giovanni Bernard, when you had him and Jeremy Hill, like when those two mix and matched. It's a usable fantasy piece. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing sexy. But yeah, there's not much value on that Tennessee team right now.
You know, I'm really glad Washington is the last team we're talking about because everyone's here listening to me and they know I've got, I don't even know, 12, 13 points. And they're actually keeping tallies and they are tied with me. And they think they're going to beat me going into Washington. They've got this idea of who you're going to pick. They have no idea. This pick is going to surprise them. And I know exactly who it is because you're smart tags and this is the right pick. You're going Trey Quinn.
I have two of them.
Oh, two of them. You're putting the championship on the line with two of them?
It's giving you an extra opportunity.
Okay, the first one is Trey Quinn. And the second one, it should be Terry McLaurin. I like him, man. I don't think that's who you're going to pick, though. I'm going to go with everything's on the line. Jordan Reed.
You got one of them, and Jordan Reed is one. Trey Quinn isn't.
You didn't pick Trey Quinn? What is wrong with you?
I didn't, and I'm going to tell you why in a second. So Jordan Reed is tight end 28 right now. Guys, I understand. He's had injuries. I get it.
If he's healthy, he's a top 8 tight end. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, easy. And that
maybe top 3.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the upside is there to be top 3. Now, I'm not saying he's ever going to get there again. Really.
I'm not saying if he's on the field, I think he's better than Zach Ertz or George Kittle or obviously, Travis Kelce. But someone's going to get hurt. And so there's a chance Jordan Reed gets top 3.
They have nobody else in that roster to take his job. Vernon Davis is like 90. Jordan Reed is the top receiver on that team. But the other guy that I went with was Paul Richardson. And I don't know why people have forgotten about him. Like,
oh, yeah, I forgot you love Paul Richardson.
I don't.
He's not better than Trey Quinn, though.
But what I'm saying is, like, Paul Richardson, when he was playing last year, he was their number one receiver. He was playing better than Doxson. Doxson might even get cut, they're saying. But Paul Richardson got hurt. He was out. He's the wide receiver 112.
Yeah, that's too low for Paul Richardson. This is a good call, but not as good of a call as Trey Quinn.
Trey Quinn is not a bad play. I don't want to say that he's like a terrible guy to own, but I want to say that his ADP was higher than I mean,
I'm not saying he's David Moore or anything, but I think he's a good pick.
Trey Quinn is going as the 84th wide receiver off the board, and Paul Richardson's going as 112. Like, it's not to say that Trey Quinn's not a... I think he's a good value because he's going to walk into that Crowder role, but Paul Richardson is probably going to out-target him. His targets are going to be worth more because they're further down the field.
You know what? As much as I like Trey Quinn, I think that difference is too big. So I actually think you're right.
Woohoo! There we go.
Yeah. So we all win, except the people listening competing against me, because I got 12 points, baby.
There you go. And
I think I got 13. I don't know what I got.
I'm really curious to hear if, like, honestly, you know, if you did this honestly, I'd love to hear what you guys got and see if you got it. And that's the thing is, hopefully, you know, like, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Because the thing is, the idea is that these guys are values because people aren't looking at it correctly in some of the cases. It's not to say that I'm going to be right on all of these, but I'm trying to give you a different point of view as to why I think they're values.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, man. This was a fun show.
It was. It was different. We went through 32 teams. It was fun.
Dude, can you wish me luck on winning this N'Keal Harry signed Patriots helmet? Like, by the time this is published, no one will be able to jump in and compete against me. So I think that's good. Good news for me because I really want this.
Well, good luck on that, dude. I hope it works out for you. Unfortunately, I can't root for him, you know, in the year because I was kind of down on him.
Yeah. Do you remember when I thought the Seahawks were going to draft him and I was so sad?
You were. Yeah, we were in Nashville and he legitimately was convinced that N'Keal Harry was going to the Seahawks.
I was certain, man. Pete Carroll gave us this clue on Twitter. He made a video and I thought I figured it out and I was going to beat Tags in the accuracy competition for our mock drafts. And I lost because Pete Carroll lied to us.
It's okay. They got the better receiver in the second round anyways.
No, they did. I am going to wrestle you so hard.
DK Metcalf's upside is so much better than N'Keal Harry's.
After I post this picture of myself looking like Keenan Allen with the, you know, the...
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
The abs out and big mustache and jorts.
Oh, man, this is going to be so great.
Couldn't get a Lamborghini, though, so we'll see. Maybe I'll pull up a minivan or something.
Yeah, you better do something because it's got to be hot.
It's going to be fun, yeah. It's definitely going to be hot, but not Lamborghini hot. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all for today's show. Make sure to check out Pristine Auction and what they have for you. It's PRISTINE. And sign up for that signed Juju Smith-Schuster Steelers helmet at fantasypros.com/contest. Please be honest and let us know what you think about the show, what you like, what you don't like, so that we can keep that going or fix whatever needs to be fixed. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. guys, All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.